Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio, episode 72. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh is here.
And Ethan.
Yay, gang's all here. We got the band back together. It's going to be a heck of a week. We're actually going to take a little bit of a respite from the Sturgis series. We'll resume it next week with the Great McGinty. And we're going to talk about something special.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, great movies with wrestlers in them. Oh, maybe not even great movies, just movies with wrestlers in them.
Yes, in honor of 12 rounds.
In honor of Sir John Cena, as I'm sure that as British royalty will soon be dubbing him.
Wow. That.
Hey, I said it first. You guys heard it here first.
And probably the only place, too.
One day in an alternate universe, it will happen.
All right, let's talk about what we watched this week. Josh, you've been gone for a while. You want to get
What's
us caught
Josh
up a little bit?
Watching?
Oh, God.
Well, I do want to talk about The Knowing.
Is it just Knowing or The Knowing?
The Knowing?
I think it's just Knowing.
Is it just Knowing?
I think so.
I don't know.
It's okay.
I don't
sounds
know
better
what the title
knowing.
Of The Knowing is. It was good. I really liked it. I liked the movie a lot. Nicolas Cage, though, I think he's losing his mind. So I swear to God, if the movie hadn't been smart and like good, it would have just been another Ghost Rider. Worse than that, because he just was like, the bees, they're in my eye. No, he didn't do that. But
I was going to mention that. I say, what is his mortal enemy, the bees?
Yeah,
were they there?
They did pop up. No, but the movie was actually very smart, and it's got one of them. Most ballsy studio endings I've ever seen.
Well,
so,
it's Proyas, so that never hurts.
So, and I would like to revisit Dark City because I've only seen that once.
See the director's cut. I'm telling you. It's like $13 at Walmart right now.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Good deal.
Just go pick that. But the movie was visually awesome and special effects were good. The only thing, though, there's a sequence in the film where this plane crashes and Nick Cage like runs over and there's all this fire and stuff. And we saw the movie at this brand new theater with these DLP screens. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, the fire just looked fake. Mm. So I don't know.
That kind of sucks.
What about Nicolas Cage's hair? Did it look fake?
Yeah, a little bit.
Did he have the Ghost Rider hair or the National Treasure hair?
National Treasure hair.
Okay, that's at least a step up from Ghost Rider hair, which is one of the worst movie wigs ever.
Yeah. It was...
It's like a muskrat atop his head. It's just terrible.
I would I'd recommend it. Definitely recommend it. So.
Cool, man. Looking forward to seeing it. It did really well in week two. It barely dropped off. It's number three.
Yeah, yeah. And what else did you watch this week, sir? You got some special stuff.
Do you want me to talk about that?
You may as well.
I saw...
Wow.
These are my confessions.
Pirates.
Not the pirate movie. Not Pirates of the Caribbean.
Not of the Caribbean.
Not with Johnny Depp.
Just... Pirates. I was bored.
Was this the rated cut or the
unrated?
Okay.
If it was rated, they sure got away with a lot.
Okay.
it was so bad. It was so bad. I stopped watching it. I didn't even get to like the skeletons fighting or anything. So
it is a porn film, like penetration shots and all that. And
It was hardcore.
Even though this was pirate times, was there still like a pizza delivery boy or?
No, but they did, like, the dialogue was so bad. The dialogue was so bad you couldn't even follow what the hell they were talking about half the time. And there's obviously no plot. I've never seen a porn before, and I just expected more, I guess, from the most expensive porno ever. I don't know.
All right, then.
Well, and glad you were disappointed with the world of porn.
And there's a sequel coming.
Oh, it's already out.
Is the sequel out?
Stagnetti's Revenge.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, because this wouldn't quite get a theatrical release now, would it?
Stagnetti. Nice.
It's weird because there's a lot of things you could do on Dead Man's Chest. There's a lot of variations you could do on that.
Yeah.
Even at World's End. Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. I just want to acknowledge that you actually watched. Did you watch the whole thing? Or
no, we watched about an hour of it, and it's 2 hours long.
Wow. Well, tell me we wasn't like your mom.
No.
Okay, good.
I won't say who it was, but I watched it with somebody else.
Okay. That was going to get worse than the whole Indiana Jones pedophile thing from last week. So,
I know I watched more, but let me think about what I did because I've been gone for so long.
Okay. Barry.
I wanted a Hulu midnight movie, so I started watching American Psycho 2, starring William Shatner.
And Mila Kunis.
After 5 minutes, I just thought, this is a waste of time. So I switched over to Wrong Turn, which I kind of liked. Wrong
I've
Turn
heard
with Leigh Jadusku.
About it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was actually better than I thought it would be. You know, it moved very quickly.
Yeah.
It was a total, complete ripoff of Texas Chainsaw Massacre and The Hills Have Eyes. Yeah, I thought the makeup effects were good. It was very quick. I thought it was very suspenseful. I liked the scene where they're being chased through the treetops. Yeah, it was only like 75 minutes long. It was really quick. Stupid, dumb as a brick, but yeah, I dug it.
Sometimes that's all you want.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, it delivered. I was a little, it put me on edge. Yeah.
I'm not a Dushku fan, so that's why I haven't.
I don't like her either.
Yeah. That's why I really haven't been watching much Dollhouse.
I don't like her on Buffy. Meh.
Yeah, yeah. So is that pretty much it outside of?
I saw a couple more. Another Hulu classic. I saw John Lithgow in The Manhattan Project. Good 80s movie. Nice. Kind of a total ripoff of War Games, but pretty suspenseful. The one that I saw that I was really glad I saw, because the first time I saw this was the day it opened in November, of Thanksgiving Day of 1993, was A Perfect World, the film Clint Eastwood did with Kevin Costner and Laura Dern. They advertised it like it was this big, like, escape convict chase movie, and it's this really, really dark, really grim, really pessimistic movie about how about this convict trying to connect with this little boy that he's kidnapped. Really, really dark, moody stuff. Like, I really didn't appreciate it when it first came out. Now I think it's probably one of the best films Eastwood's ever directed, and Costner's performance is definitely one of his moodiest, one of his most interesting. I was really, really glad I saw this, and I think it's a fine film.
Very cool. And it's on Hulu for those of us south of a border. I had to make sure, you know, I give a little love Ethan's way. Yes. Cool. Is that it for you, sir?
That's basically
okay. I only watched, starting to catch up on Battlestar some more. We watched like 4 episodes this week, and it's good. It's good stuff. Nice. I kind of can't wait for it to be over so I can get back to really cranking on The Office. I saw Ricky Gervais's new stand-up special, which I think we're talking about mm-hmm. soon.
Yeah.
If you've seen Animals, if you've seen Fame, it's a lot of retreads, but it's still really funny and really wrong. When you can do cancer and AIDS jokes, it's just, you know, it's Gervais. You know, he gets away with murder. And then yesterday, on a lark, I watched Red Belt.
Hmm.
Oh my gosh, that's an amazing movie.
Yeah.
I can't say how much I love and adore that movie.
Good.
I wish I would have seen it. What, did it come out last year?
Yeah, last year.
Okay, it was on your top 10, right?
It was, yeah.
Chiwetel Ejiofor is awesome.
Yeah.
And what I liked is, I'm not going to ruin the ending, but it finds a way to have a guy stick to his principles throughout the entire movie without compromising himself.
Like Jigsaw?
Exactly like that.
Totally.
David Mamet took note.
Yeah, I love the ending because it was so unpredictable. I didn't know what direction it was going in. And,
yeah. I appreciated the fact that they didn't have him cop out at all. I mean, it was close at some points, but yeah. I really, really enjoyed that movie. It's really stuck with me through yesterday and all of today, too.
Yeah, great film.
Yeah, yeah. So, Ethan?
I got rid of one of my shameful secrets, which I consider movies I'm ashamed to admit I've never seen. I watched L.A. Confidential for the first time.
And?
Yeah, I was really just super impressed with it and how well shot it was and how the plot was twisted and turned, but it had this kind of nice I'm flailing for words right now. What am I trying to say here? This is what I mean to say. I haven't read the book it's based on, right, by James Ellroy, mm-hmm. but I think I could tell just by watching it that it had this real pulp tone, and it felt like a book to film in a lot of ways, in the ways that there's the kind of three storylines with Pierce, Crow, and Spacey, and the way they kind of intersperse, it felt a lot like a book, but in a good way, in a total cinematic way. And yeah, I was super impressed with it. Wish I hadn't taken so long to see it.
Cool.
Oh, very good. Yeah,
very good. And also, got lots of stuff here, but since there's been all this talk of a Fantastic Four reboot lately, I figured, you know what, I should probably finally see the second one, I watched that.
I thought you were going to say you went out and got the Corman version.
That probably would have been better, but while watching this, you know that there's the term popcorn movie?
Yeah.
Well, it's weird, but I could totally understand it while watching this, because whenever I was eating food, I was enjoying it. Like, I was just having some sandwiches during, like, the opening. I'm like, yeah, maybe this could be fun. Then I ran out of food. I'm like, this is boring. Then I got some popcorn. I'm like, yeah, this is kind of fun. Then it ran out. I'm like, this is boring. So.
Fair enough.
Didn't Jessica Alba and what's his name make Good Brother and Sister?
Chris Evans.
Chris Evans. Didn't they just look like brother and sister?
Yeah, they were like twins.
Almost.
But also, yeah, I think, you know, Jessica Alba, very attractive woman, but in this, she just looked like a Barbie doll. Sorry, not attractive.
Hmm. Yeah.
What do you think of the cloud?
Haven't you noticed with this and The Day the Earth Stood Still, I think, like, Tom Rothman has an obsession with clouds.
bring on the fox bashing. Okay. It wouldn't be an episode.
Did you like the Silver Surfer, how they did that?
Whatever. Eh.
All right.
Also watched the entire first season of Tim and Eric Awesome Show.
Hmm.
Great job in one sitting.
Wow.
How long is that?
And while I love this show, watching it in one sitting, the entire season, I swear, will, like, literally melt your brain.
I can believe that.
Like, there's not many other places where you can see Michael Cera transform into a cat.
I've only seen
Fair enough.
Like one episode, and it was with like the baby clown rentals.
Yeah. You know
what I'm talking about? That was awesome.
Okay.
I just like the one with Zach Galifianakis, the gravy robbers, where it's like there's this restaurant where they serve too much gravy, so they send people to rob gravy from you.
Wow. Okay, I need to check this show out.
Yeah, it sounds good. It's really,
really good. It, well, I've heard it accurately represents the experience of being on acid, so I got to start dropping acid.
Because that's the good time where it's at. Mm. All right. What else did you see, sir?
I watched the first hour or so of Blindness and then shut it off.
Because it made you want to go blind?
Just kind of. It was just, I don't think since Crash have I ever felt so beat over the head with a movie's message. It just, the point where I shut it off was Mark Ruffalo. He was like giving this speech where he's like, it's like, your human nature makes you compassionate to do what your heart drives you. I'm like, no, this is such obvious screenwriting and so obviously speaking down to the audience and beating us over the head that I had enough and I shut it off, and it was pretty boring too. Mm.
Like, I don't know, anybody
very
liked
visual,
it.
Visually wears thin after a while, I found.
Hmm. Fair enough.
It's too bad.
I watched The Room, finally.
Ah.
Uh-huh. Is that my cue?
Yeah, just wait.
You are lying. I never hit you. You are tearing me apart, Lisa.
That makes me have to see this movie by itself.
Yeah, what else to say about this, then? I can't believe this movie cost $6 million.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, and Barry, you said Marty's seen this, right?
I believe he has. In fact, I know he was planning on a screening last night, so he might have already seen it by the time he's listening to this, so cool.
And there's like three sex scenes within the first half hour of the movie that are all shot like and paced in like the exact same way. They're all like, they all look like, it's like having like three music videos just in the first like half hour, and it's so bad. Oh
my
God.
This was made in what, 97, 98?
No, it was made like 5 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay. Jeez.
Sorry, that scene makes me have to seek this movie out.
Is it on DVD?
You can order it.
Yeah, it is.
You can order it.
But I didn't watch it on DVD, and I think you should probably see it in a theater.
Seeing it with the crowd, it's kind of like a Rocky Horror experience.
Yeah, next time we're all in LA, we got to go see this thing. Yeah, that's the only way apparently to see it. But if you really have to, you can go to The Room site, and there are T-shirts, DVDs, keychains.
Wow,
might be getting me some shirts.
Okay. All right. Is that it for you, sir?
No, one last thing.
You've been a busy man this week.
Yeah, I watched Danger Diabolic.
Oh, yeah.
The Mario Bava superhero film. Well, yeah. Not quite superhero, but comic book at least. This movie was made in 1968, and it's based on an Italian comic book. And it's very imagine James Bond, but with a slightly more comic book tone, superhero tone, say. And it's very over the top, but I think it's weird noticing it, watching it. You can tell that Mike Myers took a lot of influence from it for Austin Powers.
Hmm.
Like, just lots of visual cues. And it has a score by Ennio Morricone.
Wow.
Yeah, is this the film that the video from Beastie Boys for Body Movin' was taken from?
Yeah, that was. And it really does feel like a live-action comic book. Like, just from the beginning, there's a scene where him and his love interest, they're having sex in a pile of money.
All right, then.
And I know, actually think this was MST3K did an episode on this, but I can see obvious areas to riff on it, but it's still really fun, and I definitely recommend it.
Sweet. I've started watching the Riff Tracks version of Plan 9. Never seen Plan 9. Apparently, I'm thinking this is the only way to watch this movie because it's an awesome riff so far.
Great. Yeah, don't go out of your way to see Plan 9. Yeah.
Fair enough. All right, well, shall we talk about what's hit theaters this past weekend since we're 15 minutes into the episode?
Okay. Monsters vs. Aliens in 3D, currently the number one movie in America with $58 million. Wow. And number two, awesomely enough, The Haunting in Connecticut, even with a title that lame, made $23 million, starring Virginia Madsen. PG-13 horror. And then way down on the list, which we'll get to, John Cena's follow-up to The Marine, 12 Rounds, which thankfully did not open in the number 12 spot, though pretty close.
Ouch. Yeah. Okay, so did anyone see Monster? You saw Monster vs. Aliens.
Yeah, it's great.
Like last week, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, so it's 3D only?
I only saw in 3D, yeah.
But is that the way to see it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. It's really smart, really funny. It's not quite on the level of Bolt, but... yeah, I thought it was great. A thrilling
action
sequence.
Did you read Alex Billington's review?
Oh, no.
Who?
Alex Billington's review?
No. If you say the word cinematic revolution...
No, it's the exact opposite is what he thought. He goes on saying how crappy he thought it was and how much he hates DreamWorks Animation. But Adam Quigley from Slash Film just totally gave him this humongous smackdown in the comment section.
Nice.
Where it's like saying... You're like criticizing this movie for all like putting, spectacle over story, but don't you love Transformers?
Okay, let's move on. Let's move on.
Well, I don't know who this Billington guy is, but I like the movie a lot. I thought it was very good. It's one thing to have a really thrilling action sequence where like these two monsters are wrestling atop the Golden Gate Bridge, but it's another thing when one is this big, gigantic, fuzzy, googly-eyed insect, and the other is this one-eyed alien robot. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's great.
Right on. Cool.
Are we talking about something? I'm sorry.
No. All right, okay. So we move on to 12 Rounds.
Yeah, we died with 12 Rounds.
Oh, because it is inspired. You and I are the only ones who saw it this week.
Yeah.
Wow. This was bad. Now, granted, I did watch the... I take it back. I also watched The Marine in preparation for seeing 12 Rounds. And you said it set my expectations too high.
Yeah, you set the bar too high because The Marine is... I mean, I wanted 12 Rounds to be so much worse. Like the first 10, 15 minutes, I'm like, gosh, this is really generic. This is like not outrageous enough. This movie isn't going to be what I want. And then John Cena stops a getaway car with a boat. And I'm like, oh, thank God. There's the John Cena I love.
See, here's the thing that I figured out why I love The Marine. Robert Patrick is in on the joke, and John Cena isn't. Because when he's in the car, like, calling the cops,
yeah,
we have an officer down at such and such. They've got my wife. This is John, was it Spartan?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
John Spartan, click. Because who the hell is John Spartan?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it, this movie ripped off both Speed and Die Hard with a Vengeance.
For starters,
those are the two prime ones. Because
Last Action Hero, Metro, Die Hard 1, what else? The list goes on and on.
13 Blocks.
Ripped off 13, 16, was it 16 Blocks? 16 Blocks, Terminator 3, ripped off so many movies.
Did Rennie Harlan rip off any of his own movies?
No, sadly enough, he left which would have been nice if he ripped off one of his great movies, like, you know, Cliffhanger or Die Hard 2, for starters. But no, Cena is even dressed like Keanu in Speed. He's got he's got the same outfit on, exactly. Even the twist of Speed's minor plot spoiler where Jeff Daniels walks into a...
That's what I was waiting to happen.
It happens in this movie too. I mean, it completely rips off Speed, like plot point for plot point. But you know what would have made Wade 12 Rounds, I think, so much better? If they had a good villain. This guy sucked.
Oh, yeah.
He sucked so bad. I mean, like, they really needed Robert Patrick or Christopher Walken or somebody like completely go over the top.
Lloyd would be funny.
Yeah, but like John Cena was like the sturdiest performance in the movie, which is not good.
No. You need people who are just like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
That's what makes for a good Cena movie.
Yeah, because this villain, like the most evil, dastardly thing he does, even though the whole movie there keeps saying like, oh, this guy is the Antichrist, he's evil, he sells missiles to the bad guys and all this stuff. The only evil thing that he ever did that I thought was really, truly offensive is that scene where he's talking to Cena and he's licking a vanilla ice cream cone.
Yeah.
But then he throws it away but without finishing it. I thought that went way too far.
Didn't he
far.
Throw it like into the lady's purse behind him or something?
Yeah, he did. I thought that's just yeah. That's bad.
Yeah, when yeah. the punk from Star Trek IV can take out your bad guy, that's just sad.
Yeah, yes, yeah, bad villain and completely unoriginal. But there was, you know, I thought there were times where it almost reached that Marine outrageousness. I mean, there's that scene where in order to defuse the bomb, he drives a fire truck through like half of like New Orleans, destroys the whole city. I love that. And then like he's got that line where he's like, "Screw your rounds." Love that.
Yeah. You know, the Marine, I can say, see it in a theater, see it with a lot of people. Yeah. 12 rounds, I'm saying wait for the DVD.
Watching it on an airplane, watch it if it's on TNT as like the afternoon movie. Yeah, it's totally expendable. I didn't think it was terrible, but I wanted it to be so much worse, therefore
exactly.
so much better. Yeah,
exactly, because the Marine is an awful, awful movie.
But it's awful in ways that are so outrageous and so far. I mean, at one point, like... The opening scene is edited in such a way, it looks like Cena actually looks at a guy so fiercely it makes him like explode.
Yeah.
The Marine is so outrageous. But yeah, this movie isn't quite outrageous enough, but man, it comes close.
Al-Qaeda didn't have a military base. That's the problem with 12 rounds.
Right.
So nobody walks like in slow motion into a convenience store?
No. No. It's just so bad. It's, yeah. Yeah. It's... I was hoping for, as you said, so much more and so much less at the same time.
Yeah, it's strange because, you know, it really is, you know, it's the best movie Harlan's done in years, but I'm
really?
You know, but yeah, but if you consider the last movies he's done have been Exorcist the Beginning and The Covenant, you know, so.
Fair enough.
You know, he hasn't done a great movie since 10 years ago, Deep Blue Sea. That's the last good action movie the guy did.
And yeah, that was 10 years ago?
That was 10 years ago, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
So, way to come back, Rennie.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and talk about what is hitting DVD this Tuesday.
Let's see. This Tuesday, Marley and Me, spoiler, the dog dies. Slumdog Millionaire, last year's pick for Best Picture.
Buy it, don't rent it.
Hannah Montana, Keeping It Real.
No.
I don't know why I have this down. Oh, here we go. Schoolhouse Rock, The Earth. So, all the Schoolhouse Rock shorts about the Earth.
Okay.
And then a bunch of After Dark Horror Fest 3 films, among them The Butterfly Effect 3 Revelations. Anybody see 2?
The hell is...
No. The first one didn't leave any questions to be answered.
How can they do those without Kutcher's character?
I'm betting they probably didn't.
Yeah. Also, The Broken, who knows what that is, Autopsy, From Within, and Dying Breed. So these are all After Dark Horror Fest 3 films.
You know who's... I don't know if it's Butterfly Effect 2... Or White Noise, too, but Nathan Fillion.
White Noise,
too. Yeah, White Noise, too. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And Katie Sackhoff.
Wow.
From BSG. You had some other stuff for this week's DVDs, too.
Yes. Ricky Gervais, Out of England, his concert film. And then probably the best release of the week, The Real Ghostbusters Volume 1 in Steelbook Edition.
It's a 5-disc set for $22 on Amazon.
5-disc. Wow.
That's just old. Yeah, they actually did, I forget it was like Time Life or someone... released the entire series already. I think there's like 6 volumes.
Jeez.
Inside a giant case that's like the firehouse.
Oh, neat.
It's very cool.
That's fun.
Yeah, yeah, very cool. Yeah, that's going to be well worth picking up, I think.
No kidding, yeah.
All right, should we move on to news?
Yes.
All right. I'll let you kick it off, Ethan.
Okay, first story I have is that the Coen brothers will be adapting True Grit.
Ah.
Okay, fair enough.
Do you guys see True Grit with John Wayne? It's the movie he won the Oscar for, playing Rooster Cogburn. He's got
it's racist, right?
I didn't think so.
Wait, no, that's The Searchers I'm thinking of. Sorry.
Yeah. True Grit's got that classic scene where he puts the reins of the horse in his mouth and he gallops down the hill like guns blazing. Although, you know, in real life his teeth would have like been knocked out. But it's a fun western. It's not Wayne's best movie, but it's I don't know why they would want to.
I assume this will be more gritty than that.
Preferably so. Although True Grit at its time was a real like that was a real stretch of the PG ratings. It's got some pretty violent scenes for 1971.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh. Well, we have a new Star Trek poster.
Are you talking about the one with the Enterprise?
I guess it's the Enterprise. It's so blurry and vague and crappy that I can't tell.
Is this the one where he's on the speeder bike and the Enterprise is in the background?
No. This is like just the Enterprise.
Okay.
The final poster's hit, and it's like a blurry version. I don't know if it's supposed to be in warp speed or something, but there's...
That is the final poster?
No, like, clarity at all. It's just, yeah. Huh.
Wait, I wanted to make a point here. The tagline for this, "The future begins." The tagline for Terminator Salvation, "The end begins." Like, is the tagline for Night at the Museum 2 going to be like "The past begins" or something? Or
this could be the year of the
movie. Past becomes the present in the future.
Ow.
Mm.
Ow.
Yeah, these taglines are starting to cannibalize each other.
They are indeed. Yeah.
So, in order to like understand the Star Trek poster, are you saying like you need to have like an epileptic seizure to be able to? Really...
I don't think you can like go and like you're seeing like, you know, like the thing where you had to cross your eyes to see the picture, like in Mallrats.
Yeah.
You know, see the, oh, look, it's a sailboat.
Yeah. Right.
That wouldn't even help you. Like, it's blurred to a point that just doesn't make any sense.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
Because I thought they were going to use the one with the huge heads and then like the little bit of action on the bottom.
You'd think so. But I don't know.
That's disappointing.
And I just cheated and paused the show so I could show Barry and Josh the poster. And what were you saying?
It looks like the teaser poster for Star Trek VI, which was like the Klingon, and he had like that blurry effect on the back of his head. But yeah, that looks like a teaser poster in general. I mean, there should be so much more to it than that.
It looks like an X-Files teaser poster.
It looks like somebody took their Enterprise model, threw it across the room, photographed, and said, "Yes.
We have our poster."
There you go. That's how we'll get people to see this movie. That's ridiculous. What about the sex appeal? What about the incredible visual effects? I mean, that could be like a poster for any Star Trek convention.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm disappointed.
Yeah. All right, what have you got next, Ethan? I think you and I are the only ones with the news this week.
Yeah. Okay, you guys hear about the Three Stooges cast?
Who is it again?
Oh, Lord.
It's Sean Penn, Benicio Del Toro, and Jim Carrey.
What?
I heard this was just... primary, right? Because they just...
Preliminary,
I heard they,
you mean?
Yeah, preliminary. They offered the roles to the guys, and I heard it's not official yet.
Well, I heard they signed on.
Oh, really?
That's what I heard. I could be wrong.
This is weird. Forget the fact that this is the Farrelly brothers. That particular combination means I have no desire to see this movie.
This is weirder than that damn Yankees story that came out a couple weeks ago. This is weird.
I mean, with that kind of cast, I expect like Sean Penn and Benicio Del Toro, one to be doing Curly Joe and one to be doing Shemp.
Who's doing Mo? That's what I want to know.
I don't even care.
Wait, Jim Carrey's the fat one.
Really?
Yeah, he's gaining weight.
That's right.
Sean Penn's the one with the curly hair. Larry. Curly? Is that it?
Larry.
Larry, sorry. And Benicio Del Toro's the other one.
I guess Mo? I could see him as Mo. He'll just have like Javier Bardem's like haircut from No Country for Old Men.
Does slapstick even work anymore as a form of comedy? Movies, do you think?
So, yeah. Is it going to be like a Three Stooges movie, or is it going to be about making...
No, it's like a Three Stooges movie.
A Three Stooges movie?
By the Farrelly brothers, because, you know, their brand of comedy totally fits with the Three Stooges.
So, is Mo going to, like, poop on Larry, or, like, what?
No, he's going to do it on Curly's head, and Curly's going to try to pass it off as a toupee.
Why are you?
Yeah.
One of the characters is going to be like mentally handicapped, so they can make fun of it, but pretend to be, like, supporting the handicap, like, oh, you love Farrelly brothers movies?
Excuse me, have you seen my...
Yeah, seriously.
Well, I'm just so intrigued by the fact that Penn signed on to do this. So
that is the one interesting thing, him going back to comedy for a change.
I love how he like edited himself out of Crossing Over, but this is the film he'll do after Milk. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I actually do have news.
Okay, what you got?
I just remembered it. Actually, the Spider-Man musical is happening.
Oh yeah, they did a sneak preview
type thing, and somebody went. It's called Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
Yeah, well, the song's being written by U2, right?
Yeah, it's so, I don't know if it's all of them or if it's just Bono or an Edge, but...
Well,
yeah.
I have a feeling that Turn Off the Dark will be in the vein of Let Me In the Sound, to be honest. Like, I feel at some point Spider-Man's going to take off his mask and be like, turn off the dark repeatedly, just for no reason. I don't know.
That could be. I still want to go see it. I don't know. Could be cool.
Any, like, word about how it was?
I guess the special effects are really cool for whatever. It's got like six villains, including one that they created for the play, who's got like, it's like a girl and she's got like knives on her suit or something. I don't know. That kind of sounded dumb. But like Carnage is one of the villains, which doesn't really make sense. And Green Goblin and the other ones I don't remember. But
Doc Ock?
I don't think I read him. That'd be cool.
Or like the Vulture.
Villains that don't really need special effects. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, we have some the first production stills from The Sorcerer's Apprentice. And for some reason, Nicolas Cage looks like Harry Dresden from the Jim Butcher novels. Mm. Directly, it's really freaking annoying. It looks stupid.
This is a live-action Disney comedy?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is this movie even about?
Have you seen Fantasia?
Yeah.
The Sorcerer's Apprentice, when the brooms start getting out of control, that's the movie.
So, wait. Oh, Jay Baruchel's in this, right?
Yeah, he's the apprentice.
So he's Mickey Mouse?
Yes, pretty much.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm pre-ordering my ticket now.
No.
Yeah. So.
The brooms! They're in my eyes!
The brooms! Slippers!
So, yeah. All right, Ethan, back to you.
You guys, I assume, all saw the Where the Wild Things Are trailer?
Yep. Holy crap.
Yeah, very cool.
So it is that a mixture of CG, animatronics, and men in suits, pretty much?
No, I don't think there's any CG there.
It's just all animatronics? That's just...
Oh, I heard the
facial movements. That's what CG. I heard, too. Well,
I heard that that's actually the animatronic parts.
Oh, well, if so, then hats off.
Either way, looks freaking amazing.
The trailer looks freaking amazing. Let's see how the movie is. Because movie's not going to use that music. And, you know, we didn't really get a lot of dialogue. So we could have, a Jar Jar wild animal.
Misa want to play.
Hopefully they all throw him off the cliff when they go yelling at the edge.
Because, this movie has apparently been reshot because it was too dark.
So. Yeah, well, did you hear about this?
Wait, no, that didn't happen. That was debunked by Spike Jonze himself.
So that there weren't kids running out of the theater crying at the end of the first screening?
Apparently there kind of were, but the thing is, the movie wasn't, it needed more time to be done and more money, and Warner gave it to him. And he just needs, because it's he's been doing this since, April of 2006, and it's still in production, so. And I think that, Warner, with the stuff they've been doing lately, like Dark Knight and Watchmen and Observe and Report, I can't see why they wouldn't support his vision.
I don't know. Sounds like studio damage control to me.
We will see. The thing is, Spike Jonze has never really been one to hold back what he really thinks.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason why. I know that he's been very, whatever spin that I'd heard, it was him taking, even if Warner Brothers said, hey, you need to do something, he was the one who went back and did whatever was that needed to be done. It wasn't they went and got Uwe Boll to go do the reshoots.
Yeah. Well, the film will speak for itself, that's for sure.
Very true.
Hope it's good.
Yes. And here's an interesting one. I don't know if any of you ever heard of this, but Mark Millar was working on doing a Superman movie. He was he had his script ready. He was pushing Warner Brothers and DC to do it. He's temporarily quit going after it, and apparently because they have decided to make his comic book American Jesus. Has anyone even heard of this comic?
No.
I think I have. It was a Green Day song, right?
What? Wow. Okay. You can actually read the first issue of the comic online, and which I did. It essentially goes into the Christian history of when Christ became, however you believe, whatever, this is going by what the Bible says, so we'll leave religion out of it. When he hits that 12 or 13-year-old mark, when he finally realizes who he is, what if that happened today?
If he was an American teen?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Pretty interesting. Yeah. It seems like an interesting concept, especially from that first issue. Yeah. I might have to go hit Borders and read the comic while I'm there or something. Hmm. If they've got it. So, yeah, it's an interesting idea.
Sounds intriguing.
Yeah. Ethan, I've only got one story left, so I'll let you crank through yours.
Did you guys see that Nightmare on Elm Street video script review and Latino review?
No, what'd they say?
I did.
It sounds really interesting, actually, what they're doing with it. What they're doing with Freddy is that they're exploring his backstory, right? But they're making it actually ambiguous if he did kill kids or not. So it's more like, is he getting these kids now because, he's a crazy psycho, or is he getting them as revenge for them kind of ratting out, lying to their parents about him doing stuff?
He did kill them.
No, but what they're saying, what happens... I don't want to do this anymore.
No, please, you read it. I don't know this. I'd love to hear what you read.
Okay, I'll say it properly now so that Josh won't...
No. I totally understand what you're saying. I'm just being an asshole.
but, I'll be in my trailer.
Go ahead, sir.
Anywho, the way they're doing it is that basically Freddy was like this normal guy, I think, who was the gardener, I think, at a school or something, and the kids liked him and everything. But eventually, one day they say, "Oh, he touched me and stuff like that." And they, like, the parents say, like, lynch him and stuff. But they're saying that it's ambiguous in the script if he actually did that, and the kids were just covering up their own parents' abuse and pinning it on him. And he's killing them now in their dreams as revenge for, like, pointing a crime that he didn't do, you know, on him.
Or
so.
Getting them because they ratted him out.
That sounds way too convoluted.
So they're using, like, him as a gardener to, like, say, like, well, he's going to use his garden shears to make the glove.
Well, that could make
probably
sense.
Yeah, that's probably what's gonna happen.
High concept,
totally.
No, that was what was scary about him was because he was a child molester.
He is a bad dude. Yeah, I don't like that angle. It's interesting, yes, but no. Freddy's a freaking pedophile child molester who was burned and then he came back.
The one thing I found funny though, so it said in the review, like, the first kill is set while a guy is playing, like, Guitar Hero with his friends.
Oh no.
So you know. That Michael Bay produced stuff. Just got to get that product placement in there.
Oh, no.
See, if it was Rock Band, I could be at least a little bit okay with that. But Guitar Hero sucks.
Oh, I got Guitar Hero a world tour for free this weekend. So
For free? Yeah, sure. But I bought that game and traded it in a week later because it sucked so bad.
Would it make any difference if he was playing, like, Frogger or
they already did. Well,
Tetris?
Maybe they're paying homage to the, isn't there a video game kill?
In
like,
Freddy's Dead.
One?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's going to happen is he's going to be playing, like, I don't know, like Hotel California or something.
No, it's going to be through the fire and the flames.
Well, Don Henley's crooning. I don't know. He's going to be like, you know, invisible things going to be slashing him and stuff. And then someone's going to be like, gnarly dude. And then, I don't know.
It would be kind of cool if he was playing, like, Are You Ready for Freddy by the Fat Boys.
Wow. Or Nightmare on My Street.
My Street, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. That's if you're doing SingStar or something. I don't know.
Wow. This is a first-time director, right? Well, he's done some music videos.
Yeah.
But he's like,
yeah.
Why? Which you go other way, because remember, David
Spike
Fincher.
Jones.
Yep, Spike Fincher, David Jones. Yeah. Spike Fincher, David Jones. Yeah.
Davy Jones from
Try
the
that
Monkees.
Again. Yeah.
Renowned filmmaker. All right, what else we got, Ethan?
Do you guys see the Taking Woodstock trailer?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it looked pretty good.
I'm kind of, one thing that intrigues me about it, I'm surprised that they're kind of hiding the fact that the main character is gay. It seems like a pretty important part of the story from what I've read.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't get that from the trailer either. Huh.
Yeah, I didn't see homophobia! Yeah.
So. Are there tense scenes in this one as well, or?
Wait, I want to do the Brokeback theme. Dun, 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 dun. Okay. That's how it went, right?
Yeah, and it won an Academy Award, too. It's like the sleepiest, dun, most dun, unexceptional theme, and here it is.
Dun, 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 dun,
tell us how you really feel, though, Barry.
Yeah, I thought the trailer looked good. I mean, I think it's very typical of, you know, just get political for a second. I think it's very typical of Hollywood and that the whole Hollywood community to continue to romanticize Woodstock, even though, like, now we know for a fact that the VD breakout and the rapes that occurred and the drunken ridiculousness that occurred actually led to a lot of violence. It wasn't completely a festival of peace and hope like everybody wants to make it out to be. And most people who were there remember the way it really was, as opposed to everybody who was stoned out of their gourd, who remembers Lucy in a sky of diamonds. And yeah, so I think it's, once again, we're trying to romanticize the hippie era to a point where it's, you know, it wasn't that romantic. Even the hippies who are still alive, like, no, it wasn't that great. We didn't actually accomplish anything, but it was kind of cool. We got stoned and
I think it'll
sex.
Kind of show that in the movie. Probably in the trailer, they're just kind of sensationalizing it. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you guys hear about that Ewan McGregor, Jim Carrey movie that's about the gay? They're like gay
sure
couple,
did.
But
yeah,
like, the studio doesn't want to do anything with it.
Yeah, I love you, Philip Morris. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. I've heard it's great, and I heard it's like one of Jim Carrey's best and funniest performances, and that it has a spectacular, all-out, gay, elaborate sex scene between him and Ewan McGregor. It's supposed to be like a 5-10 minute sequence where it's like, yeah.
But it's funny?
It's a comedy. Yeah, he's this con man. Jim Carrey is this con man who basically decides that he's gay. So all of a sudden he goes out and he's like has these terrible affairs with these gay guys, completely rips them off, goes to jail, falls in love with Ewan McGregor's character, and they set out to have this romance together. So it's like, on one hand, it's like this really raunchy, funny, like almost Apatow kind of comedy, but then it becomes like this really explicitly sexual gay love story. So kind of hard, you know, that's hard. That's a hard movie to sell.
Because, you thought Watchmen was hard to market.
Yeah, seriously, yeah. And, you know, I mean, after this, I can't even imagine Jim Carrey's fan base looking at him the same way again. I mean, this is like even more than number 23, a real game changer. So, but yeah, I heard it's really good and really funny. So I'm hoping.
All right. What else you got, sir?
That's all.
All right. I will wrap it up with the Let the Right One In debacle. Apparently, for those of us who have purchased the DVD put out by, who put it out?
Was it Bullseye or what was it?
No.
Magnet, right?
Magnet, yes. Magnet Releasing. Sorry. They're putting out Chocolate and other such films. They didn't keep the same subtitles that the theatrical cut had. From people who were like these hardcore Let the Right One In nuts, they have compared them to theatrical cuts and said that they've been significantly dumbed down. On the story that they have actual like links, you know, they have screenshots between the theatrical cut and the DVD cut of the difference in subtitles, and it was like taking two sentences of really important exposition and putting it down to like three words that have nothing to do with it. So the fans have been outraged. Legend has actually finally said, you know what, we realize that, you know, we may have messed up some, so from now on everything we put out is going to have the theatrical subtitles. We even said this is how you can find out what it is. It's all in the story that I wrote for this week. But the really jacked up part is, for those people who are really set on having those theatrical cuts, how do they go about getting their corrected copy? Because, you know, in the past when there's been problems, the studios have essentially set up an exchange program where you can swap and get the right one. Legend said, no, this was our choice, so it's not an error, so you just get to buy it again. They all suck.
It's very greedy, not nice.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad I passed it up when I saw it for $15.
But I really didn't notice a difference in it when I mean, so I don't know.
And that's interesting. Yeah, that's what, I don't know. Go ahead.
I only saw it once in theaters with you, but yeah. Like I showed it again to some people and it was like, didn't even notice anything.
Oh, well.
It comes dubbed too, though, when you play it originally. It's dubbed. And I was like, no. Subtitles.
Apparently the dub reflects the original subtitles better. Really? But it's still a dub with really bad voice acting, so.
Yeah.
No, I've been 12 a very long time.
I hope.
Oh, hey, Elia, or whatever.
Yeah.
You drive me insane.
All right, well, that will wrap it up for news. So we're going to take a quick break, but we shall be right back.
In the Seventh Son podcast novel trilogy, author J.C. Hutchins sent you underground to a secret human cloning factory. You clawed your way to the surface. You survived. Prepare to head into hell again. Welcome to Brinkvale Psychiatric Hospital, the setting for Hutchins' next novel, the supernatural thriller, Personal Effects, Dark Art. It's a rotten place with a bloody history. 9 stories of howling madness built inside an abandoned brownstone quarry. Locals call it the Brink. And now, J.C. Hutchins and creator Jordan Weissman are opening the doors of their bloody creation before the book's June bookstore debut. But you're not getting a guided tour of the Brink. You're being committed. Become a part of publishing history by admitting yourself to the Brink and becoming a patient of art therapist Zach Taylor. Inject yourself into the Personal Effects universe. Create a patient profile. Receive your admittance papers. Contribute artwork. And earn the insanely cool privilege to appear on Brinkvale Psychiatric's official website. Find your first art assignment now at jchutchins.net/thebrink. Fill out your patient paperwork, submit your art, and come back for more assignments. Get creative. Get crazy. Get committed. Go to jchutchins.net/thebrink for more information, or visit jchutchins.net/personal effects to learn more about the book, coming this June.
And I have talked with J.C. Hutchins. We are going to be having him on the show. I think it's going to end up being in May to talk about this. So, yeah, we're working on some cool stuff to do in association with that. It sounds just freaking cool. So, what are we talking this week, Barry?
We're going to talk about wrestling movies, or specifically actors, quote-unquote actors, who have spun off from WWE, WWF, or Extreme World Wrestling, and have gone on to pursue movie careers. And, of course, this is in honor of, as I mentioned before, the great Sir John Cena, whose film 12 Rounds is currently undergoing its last few minutes of screen time in your local theater.
How much did it make?
I think it made like $6 million.
Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah, not even enough to cover all that damage that he.
Let's say the fire truck scene must have cost $6 million.
Oh yeah, well, I think we should probably look it up. It probably cost like $20-30 million. I could see that. I mean, it looks like they spent some money on it.
Yeah, so. And they're not getting it back.
No, well, you know, timing sucks. They should have. This thing should have came out in January, February. You know, releasing against the Haunting in Connecticut. What was the other big one?
Monsters
versus Aliens. Yeah, not a good weekend for.
You drop it in February.
Right. August, September, yeah.
Yeah. So what was the first film with the wrestler? Was that Rocky II?
Oh, you mean actually like having one of those guys in the... Having Hulk Hogan as Thunderlips in Rocky III, yes.
It was Rocky III, my bad.
Yeah, it was one of the earlier examples. I mean, you know, but we got some good examples, you know, Andre the Giant, Princess Bride.
That's probably the best example that we've got right now.
He was used so well.
Yeah.
Well, Dwayne Johnson, I mean...
That's true, yeah, you know. Yeah. But you got to start with Hulk Hogan. Because he's the one who really kind of pioneered this whole thing.
Yeah, it's funny because I think he must have signed some kind of contract with New Line Cinema because his first three movies were all New Line. I mean, he was, you know, No Holds Barred, which prior to The Wrestler was my favorite wrestling movie, and not because it was good.
It had Zeus in it.
That's right. Zeus. And then he did Suburban Commando. Did you guys see this?
Yes, yeah. I did.
Where else can you see Hulk Hogan, Christopher Lloyd, and Shelley Duvall in the same movie? It's so bizarre. And then of course, Mr. Nanny, which is terrible.
What about Santa and... Wait, is it Santa with Muscles? That's it, right?
Yes.
Was that also Hulk Hogan? I didn't see that one.
There's probably a reason.
Because he did a Three Ninjas movie where it was like three ninjas at the
Magic
park.
Mountain.
Yeah, and it was like Hulk Hogan, Jim Varney, and...
Now, Hulk Hogan was also in Gremlins 2, though.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
And he was excellent in that film.
And, you know, Thunder in Paradise is a fun, stupid movie.
Thunder in Paradise. That was actually the pilot to the series, which lasted like 2 days. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like Airwolf, but a boat.
Right. yeah, exactly.
Instead of Ernest Borgnine, you got Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which we're going like way before your guys' time, huh? Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Can anyone here do a Hulk Hogan impression?
You know, it's hard to do a Hulk Hogan impression without crossing over into Randy Savage territory.
Brother.
Yeah.
What about that?
Exactly.
There you go. Yeah, that's...
No, I remember Suburban Commando. I used to watch it all the time.
So. I remember kind of thinking it was kind of fun when I saw it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know how it would hold up now, but yeah, as a kid, I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, in Gremlins, too, that was beautiful.
Well, it was a brilliant cameo appearance. It comes out of nowhere, and out of all the people they could have... I mean, this movie already has, like, Christopher Lee and
Moulton.
Yeah, like everybody's in this movie, and all of a sudden Hulk Hogan shows up, like sitting in the audience of this theater, like totally in his Hulkamania gear, just casually like eating popcorn with the rest of the audience. Like, yeah, sure.
But hey, you know, if he hadn't started doing that, I don't think we would have gotten Andre the Giant in The Princess Bride.
Yeah, definitely.
Granted, it's kind of gone downhill since then. I mean, again, except for the glaring different example of The Rock.
Yeah, and you know, Tyler Mane was interesting because he was offered a role in Ready to Rumble, and he turned it down to do Beast.
Okay,
in X-Men.
Or Sabretooth.
Sorry, Sabretooth. Sorry,
that really, that really crappy version of Sabretooth. Yeah, yeah.
You didn't like him in X-Men?
No.
Oh.
Wait, whoa, guys! I just realized, isn't like WrestleMania today or tonight or something?
I have no idea.
That'd be kind of cool.
Because I just, I just when I thought of this topic, sorry to brag about it, but when I thought it, like, I didn't even know that, like, I didn't even realize WrestleMania is, like, tonight. Let me just look it up.
Nice. Okay. Do we know what WrestleMania we're in?
It's like 20-something.
Yeah.
It's 24. XXV.
It's 25.
Okay. Because I still remember WrestleMania 3, where Hulk Hogan actually lifted up Andre the Giant above his head and smacked him down. That was one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Well, Mickey Rourke's going to be there.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Should we talk about our backgrounds in watching professional wrestling?
Sure. No.
I want to start with Ethan and Josh. Did you guys ever watch it much? Because this was really big in the 80s.
Yeah, honestly. I actually went to one down at the World Arena right when Ready to Rumble came out, and I just seen it that weekend, and David Arquette was in the audience.
That was the WCW days.
Yeah, yeah, and that was pretty fun. It's fun. The fireworks scared the shit out of me, but so freaking loud. But then after that, I kind of started watching it on TV, but it's just the same thing over and over again.
It really is man soap opera.
But I don't know. If you, I can understand guys that are like, oh, yeah, so whatever.
Ethan?
Well, actually, I was just looking at a thing. WrestleMania was actually yesterday.
Oh, so. We just missed it.
But, when I was a child, what was really coming into popularity was wrestling video games.
Oh, yeah.
Like you might even just remember that scene in The Wrestler where he's with a kid, he's playing the old video game.
Mm-hmm. Hey, SmackDown vs. Raw 2008.
That was really how I was the most familiar with wrestling and wrestlers. And there was also, there's lots of like kind of action figures and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but,
I had a few of those. Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Oh, I was just going to say, I have SmackDown vs. Raw 2008 on my Xbox 360. Because you know, sometimes you just want to beat someone over the head with a chair and make them bleed.
But I remember listening. I remember knowing someone when I was like in fourth grade or fifth grade, something like that, who was like obsessed with wrestling, and they even had like an album where it was like all the wrestlers, like people in the WWF, like rapping and stuff. And
yeah, singing. I have that album. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
You have that?
Yeah, I should probably confess. I'm a huge fan. I mean, I'm not to the point where I was obsessed, but I have that album, which has Hulk Hogan singing like. I Got You, Babe, and My Way, sung by, what's his name, Vince McMahon. What else? I used to watch the cartoon show Rock and Wrestling.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the Hulk Hogan one.
There was,
No, go ahead.
Sorry, but Barry, this album, this wasn't like the Hulk Hogan era of wrestling. This was like, Booker T and like The Rock, like rapping and
Junkyard
singing.
Dog, right?
No. This is the after that. This is like the next generation.
Oh, the next one. Okay, because I have the first wrestling. I think it was called the wrestling album. Yeah, I have that one.
No, but there's like China. Well, it was China. She was the female one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's after.
She had like a song about. I think that was like secretly alluding to the fact that she had a penis or something. I don't know.
Wow.
I met Jake the Snake when I was little.
That's awesome.
I have pictures of me and Jake the Snake, and then also like maybe 5-6 years ago, we were down in Florida, Boca Raton, Florida, and we were at this really nice restaurant, and actually the waiter came over and was like, you guys need to be done eating because Vince McMahon is supposed to have this table in like 5 minutes.
Wow.
So we got kicked out of our dinner.
Because of Vince McMahon. What a jerk.
Yeah, and I also remember when I was a kid, when I was a kid being said, you're gay a lot, right? But there's always be the people with, you know, the wrestling t-shirt saying this, and like you're kind of wearing a shirt with a hat, like a half-naked man on it, and you're calling me gay. So,
did you guys ever see the Slammy Awards? It was on only once. They said it was like, it came on, they said it was like the fifth annual Slammy Awards, and really, they only aired it one time. It was like an award for like best body slam, best choke slam, best like cradle. Yeah, it was like this special award show they had on, and it was totally full of crap, and it was really funny, but yeah, it only lasted like one award show.
Yeah, you and I came from the era when wrestling really took off in the 80s.
Oh yeah, yeah. Did I had those plastic action figures like Hulk Hogan and
Iron Sheik and all those guys.
Yeah, they didn't move. You could bend them, but yeah, they didn't move.
Yeah, it was back when Vince McMahon was just a commentator, which is kind of an interesting thing to think
about. Yeah, and then he became a character. My favorite character, because his soap opera story arch was so ridiculous, was The Undertaker. Because like they would play like the na-na-na-na-na-na and be like The Undertaker
with
and, like,
Paul Bearer.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, the Paul. Yeah, it was like, oh, it was so grim. It was like, gosh, this all of a sudden becomes like a horror film. I loved it. It was such contrast to everything else.
Then he had Brother Love and Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Oh yeah,
I remember the Ultimate Warrior.
Mick Foley.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a little bit later too. Yeah,
Mick Foley's amazing. That guy, the beating that guy has taken.
So, but the funny thing is, you have all these guys, and they can work a microphone well. Just couldn't make that transfer to the movies. You know, like Kane doing "See No Evil" or "Hear No Evil" or whatever.
Yeah,
that was.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I think I saw that.
Yeah, and Goldberg in "Universal Soldier: The Return."
Santa Slay.
That's right.
Well, it's funny because I remember seeing John Cena and Conan O'Brien, thinking, you know, this guy is actually quite charming and funny and charismatic. You know, I think he could really transfer well to film.
And then The Marine came out.
Did you guys see The Condemned with Austin 3:16?
No.
Yeah, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I heard that was fun, actually. Just what I heard.
Yeah, also has Vinny Jones in it too, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like my buddy Greg on the Wild 105.5 Morning Show. I mean, he's a real expert on not only wrestling but wrestling movies. And yeah,
we should have got him on for today.
We should have. Yeah, I know he will. You know,
he's not going to be happy.
Kind of a last minute show, yeah. But no, he really liked The Condemned too.
Interesting. I remember when it came out at Hollywood and it came through, and all of us on the Game Crazy side were like, "I kind of want to see it," but yeah, I heard it is a lot of fun. I don't know. Okay.
So did you guys see No Holds Barred?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, it's great. It's really great. As far as like bad 80s cheese goes, yeah, I mean, it's the Hulk Hogan movie.
Now, here's the funny thing, that Stallone had to do a movie to counter it, and his movie was over the top. The arm wrestling movie. It came out right around the same time.
Around the same time. But
It came off that they were competing against each other.
Oh, right? Really?
Yeah. At least in L.A. it was.
Hmm.
Granted, that was when you also had wrestling on regular TV instead of having to go to cable. So.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the reasons, you know, No Holds Barred wasn't like a blockbuster. Because, yeah, why pay money for something you can see for free?
Yeah.
But it was PG-13, and kind of a raunchy movie. I begged my mother to take me to it, and she did. And when we got to the theater, it was sold out for the day. So this is like, you know, before there were like multiplexes and multiple screenings. So we ended up seeing Field of Dreams instead.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, although I eventually did see No Holds Barred later on, and I'm glad we saw Field of Dreams instead.
You came out on the right end of things on that.
I really did, yeah.
Is there really anyone who's been as successful as Hulk Hogan than The Rock? Dwayne Johnson?
No, just Dwayne Johnson.
What about Rowdy Piper?
Oh, they live.
Depending on how you measure success, yes. Because that is one of the premier cult movies. He was in a John Carpenter film.
We'll leave that because we are actually going to be talking about that when we get to John Carpenter. But
oh, yeah, definitely.
But yeah, did he do anything else?
Roddy Piper? He was in Hell Comes to Frogtown, which has
what?
Like... You guys haven't seen Hell... Oh, you guys are missing out. Yeah, Hell Comes to Frogtown. It's like the apocalypse has happened, and Roddy Piper's the last person on Earth, the last man, and he has to like impregnate all the women on Earth who are left. Meanwhile, a race of mutant frogs, it's all guys in like frog hats and masks, are trying to like stop him and kill him. And there's this great scene where he goes to this restaurant, and this frog man has this one of those like hats that like stretch up to the ceiling, like one of those like, you know, pointy hats, and he's like smoking hookah. Yeah, you guys need to see Hell Comes to Frogtown. Sybil Danning is also in it.
Just going to add this to the top of my zip queue, How Comes a Frog Town, right?
Yeah, it's available on DVD. The VHS has been out of print for years. But they actually did a sequel. But make sure you're not seeing the sequel. Make sure you're seeing Hell Comes to Frogtown. Because that's the name of Roddy Piper's character. It's Hell, like Johnny Hell or whatever. So that's why, hence the title, Hell Comes to Frogtown.
You know, in many ways, he should have taken off more because he isn't enough of a smartass that...
He is such a character. Yeah, you figure. He did a movie with Richard Tyson a few years ago. It was supposed to be like The Odd Couple with guns, and it didn't take off. Yeah, he's interesting. I really like Roddy Piper, actually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to love the guy.
And, you know, George the Animal Steel. He was in Ed Wood. He was Tor Johnson. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, it was George the Animal Steel. He was Tor Johnson and Ed Wood, yep.
And you've had the great Khali show up in a couple movies. And
yep.
They're trying to push it some. I'm trying to remember what movie he was in, even. I remember the scene. It was like on a rooftop, and he's talking. He lets the good guy get away. He talks about his sister having problems. Or
Get Smart.
That was Get Smart.
Yeah, Get Smart.
Duh.
Yep.
See, I forgot that I've
even described that scene well, and I'm like, oh, yeah, Get Smart. Steve Carell.
Yeah. So... All right, shall we just put this little topic to
bed? Wait a second.
We haven't talked about The Rock yet.
Yeah, we haven't talked about The Rock. We haven't talked about Beyond the Mat. Have you guys seen that?
I have not.
It's
awesome. I
need to. It's one of my favorite documentaries. I mean, Vince McMahon produced it, so it's a little biased. You only see him in a negative light like once or twice as opposed to the whole movie. But it's terrific because you see Jake the Snake Roberts, what happened to him, what's going on with him. You see Dwayne Johnson when he's an up-and-coming wrestler. And you see this guy who I don't know if he ever took off, but he auditioned for Vince McMahon, and he advertised himself as the puke. Like, his gimmick was that he could puke on cue. So, like, Vince McMahon actually tries it out. He's like, okay, let's try this. Introducing, ladies and gentlemen, the puke. And the guy, like, throws up on cue, and McMahon's like, yes! Like, he thought, like, he had a new franchise character, but apparently it never happened. But, yeah, yeah, Beyond the Mat is great. Cause it's, and, yeah, it also has Mick Foley in it. Yeah, it's, like, it's really, like, learning about the lives of these wrestlers, what it's like for their family and their kids to watch them, like, abuse themselves while they're doing these incredible matches. I mean, it's, I love Beyond the Mat.
Cool.
Ready to rumble?
Oh, that was good.
That was the WCW movie before they got bought up by the WWE.
Wow. But yeah, let's talk about Dwayne Johnson.
Scorpion, you know, we King. Talk about him so much. That's why I kind of glossed over him. Because, yeah.
We kind of do.
We talk about the rundown all the time. We've talked about Witch Mountain. We've talked about how great he is in Be Cool. I mean, come on. Does it get any better than when he does You Ain't Woman Enough to Take My Man?
Well, he's done better, but yeah, he's good in that scene. I liked him in Southland Tales, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I liked him in that too.
Like, I think he's I'd say he's bigger than Hogan ever was, just in terms of talent and how much crossover appeal he has generated for himself.
But money-wise, I think Hogan...
Yeah. It's like comparing, like Justin Timberlake to, like, Michael Jackson. Everybody knows Michael Jackson, but... Timberlake, you know, a little more respectability there at this point.
I think if Dwayne Johnson had stuck with action movies, he'd be making so much bank right now. Because he's proven that he can do action movies. I mean, even Walking Tall, while it was a shallow, pale shadow to the rundown, was still entertaining.
Yeah. I wonder, though, if he would have continued to branch off. Because, you know, with Doom, it seems like his action movie cred really started to kind of...
After Doom kind of killed it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, as much as I really, did not like the game plan at all. It was a really shrewd and smart move on his part, and it was a big fat hit. And if nothing else, he really carried the film fine. He did a really good job. He had he really played the cynical, egotistical football player very well. You know, he can do a comedy.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed his stints hosting SNL.
Yeah, he was great.
He's got a lot of talent. And that's the cool thing, to see someone get past the wrestling. You know, not that it takes some serious commitment to kill yourself that much for that little amount of money until you make the big leagues. So
yeah, and he's
got it all staged.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There's fake, and then there's scripted. So
yeah,
how much these guys get hurt, dude? Yeah. So okay, let us know what your favorite wrestling movies are. I'm just curious, and who your favorite wrestlers in movies are. If I hear Kane, you lose all geek cred. Okay, so we'll have contact information. We're going to have voicemail in about a week or so now. So that's going to be very good to have back again. What is hitting theaters this week, sir?
Well, on 40 screens, although I hear it's pretty wonderful, is Alien Trespass with Eric McCormick and Robert Patrick.
And they're coming to Starfest.
Yay!
So I'm not sure who's coming from it, but there is a panel going, I'm guessing, to build buzz to try to get hope in more screens. I'm not sure what.
Well, that's exciting. Yeah. I hear this is a great movie. I love the trailer. I thought it looked great.
Yeah.
Adventureland, which I've heard really mixed things about, even though it stars Michael Cera and Kristen Stewart.
No, he's not in it. It's Michael Cera Jr.
I'm sorry. It's Jesse Eisenberg. Jesse Eisenberg from Cursed. Oh. Yes. Yay.
Well, I'd say the squid and the whale, but you know.
Oh, whatever. I liked him when he was like crawling on the ceiling upside down and cursed. That's what I think when I think of Jesse Eisenberg. That movie was
terrible. Whatever melts your butter, Barry.
That would be it. Butter. And then finally, Fast and Furious.
A.K.A. Vin Diesel gotta eat.
Oh, same with
Paul Walker.
Well, same with Jordana Brewster. Yeah, I mean, like, whatever happened
to these
guys.
Where the hell has she been?
And, well, apparently she went to college. She did that Texas Chainsaw Crapsicker movie, and then she went to college, and now she's back.
Well, she was also in that movie Debs. Which
oh,
I saw.
Crap, you saw that.
I did see that.
Wow, man. And
wait, what about Michelle, the man, the half-man, half-woman?
Oh, that's mean. She's
cute.
Oh,
Michelle Rodriguez.
She was in jail for a while, right? She was on Lost.
That's right.
And then she served some prison time.
Oh, she was like the worst character ever on Lost, yeah.
She was in Resident Evil.
Yeah, she was in Girl Fight.
I hated her in Resident Evil.
No, she's a good actor. She was awesome in Girl Fight. That's her debut film.
Yeah.
But, so they're all back. But you know what? On one hand, I'm excited because I think the trailer looks good. I like that whole, you know, new model, original parts, clever. But it's from the director of Tokyo Drift, though. It's Justin Lam. It's not Rob Cohen. It's Justin Lam.
From everything I've heard from you and how a lot of it is not actual stunts You know what I mean?
Like, digitized.
Digitized stunts.
Well, not screw even that. Digitized. Sometimes it's things just, on tracks, yes.
Yeah,
but
that's not...
Here's the thing. The movies still make bank.
Oh, yeah. I know, I know.
That's the kicker of it all. So, yeah.
I stand by my comment that I said a few weeks ago.
Which was?
The if you executed the opening weekend audience, the national IQ would go up by 20 points.
Wow.
You so blocked vicious. That, hadn't you?
Well, that's not very nice. I'm there.
I'm going to go see it.
No, not to that, but to something. Oh, you mean just to that movie or
yeah,
opening weekend? Okay. Oh, okay. Then, yeah, do it.
If you like go drunk at a matinee at like the cheap theater, then yeah, whatever. But if you're like, if you're like one of those gangbangers and you're just all like ordering advanced tickets and you get in the theater with your, you know, with your 13-year-old girlfriend and stuff, then no.
13-year-old girlfriend, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay. If you're one of those morons who gets busted by the cops drag racing after seeing said movie, you deserve it. That happens
then your
around
parents
here every
have
time.
To take away your car, yeah.
Well, no, you lose your license around here. You get caught drag racing, you're done.
Especially if you have like the soundtrack to Too Fast, Too Furious blaring from your stereo, it kind of gives you away.
Or anything. If you do Mamma Mia, they give you a break.
They're like, oh, okay, easy mistake. That music was driving you crazy. It's okay.
Take a chance. As he drives away.
All right, then. What's hitting DVD next week, sir?
DVD next week. I'll start with the good. I've heard it's very good. Doubt. I haven't seen this. Heard it's very good. Meryl Streep and Philip Seymour Hoffman. Dog Soldier, Neil Marshall's Dog Soldier's werewolf film. Very good, released in a Steelbook edition. Very nice.
Steelbook.
The Oscar winner for Best Picture, although not necessarily the Best Picture, but the Oscar winner for Best Picture in 2007. No Country for Old Men in a 3-disc special edition.
Complete with digital copy.
Yay.
Oh, the no.
Coaster or a Christmas tree ornament. I've heard this is really good, Tale of Despero. I mean, it came out on Christmas Day, you know, stupid time to open a movie when it's like open to get 7 other movies, but I heard it's really good, actually.
Okay.
Jim Carrey's Yes Man.
That's the good?
I'm getting there. I'm working right. My way down, trying to be nice here. The 75th anniversary of Cleopatra, the Waterworld of its time, most expensive movie ever made at the time.
I've got the 3-disc of that somewhere.
All the stories about it are so much more interesting than the movie itself.
Dude,
which is
tell
such
me
a waste
about
of time.
It.
Oh, gosh, that movie.
For Waterworld?
No, Waterworld's awesome. Cleopatra.
Oh.
It drags about as bad
Did you just say Waterworld is awesome?
I liked Waterworld. Yeah, I like Waterworld a lot,
It's a guilty
actually.
Pleasure.
Yeah. Compared to The Postman, come on. Everybody picks on Waterworld, but The Postman, that was the 3-hour Kevin Costner future movie.
Snooze fest.
That was a flop. It was terrible. Audiences hated it. Waterworld made money. People liked it. Like, it has this reputation for being like Howard the Duck, and it wasn't.
Way to defend your film, sir.
It wasn't, though. No, I saw it in theaters. I remember going to go see it.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought him drinking his pee at the beginning was pretty gross.
But it caught your attention, right?
Yeah,
like, this
yeah.
is not going to be a boring movie. If 2 minutes in, he's drinking his urine.
All right, moving on.
Moving on. What else we got? Oh, gosh. I hated this movie. It premiered, it popped up at the Denver Film Festival this past year, Donkey Punch. Don't let curiosity sway
you. This is the movie.
I don't know.
This is also put up by a legend, the people who had the issues with Let the Right One In. But since there aren't subtitles to worry about, you might be okay.
No subtitles. Seriously. It's so boring. In between like the graphic sex scenes and the really graphic violence, nothing happens. They're just running around going, I can't believe a donkey punch her to death. I can't believe she's dead. I gave her a donkey punch. It's so awful. So bad.
Well, now I have to see that.
Oh, God. I hate it. I'm trying to like sway you guys away from it. Like, donkey punch? All
yeah,
right.
When you do a donkey punch, it does have to be well-timed.
Wow. Okay.
Edit that out.
It sounds like something you hear on the making of DVD. Well,
okay.
All right. Going down the list, Bedtime Stories. I thought one of last year's worst movies, absolute worst movies, worse even than Zohan, maybe. 1- and 2-disc special edition, special. Haha. And then finally,
Yay!
Day of the Earth Stood Still, the remake, also in a 1- and 2-disc special edition. What a disappointment that film was.
Oh.
Good special effects.
No, they were crappy special effects.
They're crappy special effects.
Could Gord have looked any more fake?
Well, he's a giant, like, 7-foot
yeah.
robot.
Yeah, have him look like something that's not a giant foam Nerf toy.
I thought he was cool.
Oh, I thought
Gord was my favorite thing about the movie, actually. I like the little insect, the little robot insect thing. I thought it was pretty cool.
I was just not happy with that movie.
I mean, I mean, I wish they digitally erased that little Jaden Pinkett Smith. You know, if it was just Keanu and Jennifer Connelly, that would have helped.
That's the problem.
If there was a point.
When Jennifer Connelly's on the screen and I'm bored, there's a problem with this movie.
Oh, yeah. 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 John Hamm, poor guy, was like stuck with exposition. Oh, he was like, yeah, the exposition, man. What's happening? Well, the aliens are landing. Like, who are you? Never mind. The aliens are landing.
He was so much better than the Lex Luthor bit. I mean, in that two minutes, he was better than.
Better on Saturday Night Live, yeah.
Yeah.
He should have busted out like the cigarettes and the drinking and the, you know, gel back hair and been all like Pete, you know, and
oh yes.
The wheel is the way we pitch it to America, yeah.
Go little Don Draper. All right. Is that it for releases?
That's it.
Well, that's kind of a depressing note to end on. But that's okay. Next week we're getting back into Depression of Sturgis. We will be watching talking about The Great McGinty. A very interesting film.
Remember when everybody was all excited about that 10 minutes of Day of the Sistine footage they played on Fox? Remember that? Remember how like they showed that awful scene? And
it was
like,
terrible.
Everybody was like, wow, that looks like a great science fiction movie. I mean, that's a terrible scene. It's one of the worst in the whole movie. But that like helped sell the movie.
Did it make money?
Yeah, made like $80 million. Yeah.
Cool.
Well, wait, they showed the worst scenes to promote it? Well, let's just hope that's the case for Wolverine.
Mm. Oh, yeah, okay. So, update. I said before that like the Deadpool thing wasn't Deadpool. Now it is.
Oh.
And I know it's a Wolverine movie, it's not a Deadpool movie, but still pisses me off.
Hey, you want to see your characters portrayed right? I understand that.
Yeah, I want to see him talk to himself, talk to the camera, talk about B. Arthur. You know, it's all good.
And they're not doing that?
I don't think so. But apparently there is hope for doing a Ryan Reynolds Deadpool proper movie, which could be just, if they make it R-rated, could be one of the greatest things of all time.
I just saw this, someone on a message board I was posting, they posted a screen cap of, it was like the Wolverine Sabretooth fight.
Yeah.
It looked like the awkward beach hug from Rocky III.
Oh, man.
All right.
That was awkward between Rocky and Apollo that day.
You know, we're kind of going downhill from the day here still, so yeah, I'm canning this right now. We're going to go ahead and stop the show. We will have voicemail as of next week, but until then, if you want to shoot us an email, by all means do shoot us an email to podcast Barry, Josh, Ethan, or Dave at screengeeks.com. And until next week, this is Dave.
This is Barry.
Josh.
Ethan.
See you.
If this were an after-school special, ooh, you'd pay a bittersweet price for your little deceit. Like getting big oily zits or eating off the same plate as David Lee Roth. Ew! Go! Ooh! Ew! Oh, it's the plate! And he's been on it! Don't you under... Oh! Think about it! I'll be over talking with Jill!